Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This is a good day to call in if you're interested in talking about the news that we've been covering or the news we'll cover today. 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. We've talked about the NBC episode of Law and Order on Friday night that has the pro-aborts apoplectic. One pro-abortion columnist at Salon writes, she says, "Do you hear that sound? That is the sound of my head exploding." She just can't take it. And hey, take it. What's it like to be on the other side, huh? And you know what they say to us? When there are movies that promote all kinds of immorality and wickedness, they say, "It's just entertainment. It's just Hollywood. Come on, what are you upset about? It's just a make-believe story. It's just a show." So, it's just make-believe. Calm down, kids. There are homosexuals all over the country taking a hissy fit about this episode. What are they upset about? How could abortion be a gay man's issue? How is that possible? They say that abortion is not a man's issue. How in the world, how in the universe could it be a homosexual's issue if it's not even a man's issue? And all those feminists who say men should have nothing to say about abortion, anything a man says should be irrelevant. Well, it was seven men who gave us Roe v. Wade. So let's throw that out, just so that you could be consistent and not a hypocrite. All right. So the Law and Order episode was simply extraordinary. And as you evaluate it, it's a significant cultural event. And we'll talk more about that. Comedy Central, that was fun for that clip with Jon Stewart to surface when we were burning O.J. Simpson on the steps of the L.A. courthouse 10 years ago. That was a trip. We spent $16,000. And by the way, there were 10 of us from kgov.com. Now, people who listen to this show, they catch it only on the radio, and they're driving around town. And KGov, some people say, "What is that, K-Dove? K-Dove?" And they're thinking a Christian show. Like the dove, the Holy Spirit. And I know it's KGov, gov as in government. You know, all authority resides with God, who then created beings and delegated authority. And so government is an expression of authority. And ultimately, all the kingdoms of this earth will become the Lord's. And it will be the kingdom of our God. And so government is God's idea. God is the one who instituted the family, and he instituted government, and he instituted the body of Christ. The three institutions that are foundational for civilized existence on earth: the family, the government, and the church. And so God has given us those, and there are people who are simply flat out in rebellion against anything that God may do. And so they have an antenna on their head, and they just naturally are inclined toward evil. And if there's an issue, whatever the issue might be, anything from DNA used to catch a criminal, to the border, to welfare, to homosexuality, to overpopulation, to global warming, to child killing, they just naturally go to what is wrong, what is false, what is a lie, and what is evil. And so here at Bob Enyart Live, it's enjoyable to be able to go to Los Angeles and take, actually, it was because of the audience. You heard Jon Stewart say in that audio clip yesterday that we spent $16,000 on O.J. Simpson's memorabilia. And we did. He got his Hall of Fame award when he was inducted into the National Football League's Hall of Fame. Then you get a plaque, and everything he owned was sold for the money to go to the victims' families. And so his Hall of Fame award was part of what the sheriffs hauled out of his house. And that was sold along with, he had actually won something called the Lifesaver Award. How's that one? O.J. Simpson wins the Lifesaver Award. That was auctioned. And his jerseys, his two favorite jerseys, one as an NFL player and the other as a college player, when he won the Heisman Trophy, and on that shirt, he signed it Heisman 1968. And so that's those were the two jerseys that we purchased. And the next day at high noon, we burned them on the steps of the L.A. courthouse. And since we burned O.J. Simpson, really, we've been rather well behaved, and we have not burned anyone other than Alana Goldman on YouTube in the last decade. So we've been pretty good here at Bob Inyart Live. And if you haven't seen that, we actually aired that interview with Alana Goldman on TV. Bob Inyart Live airs. We're back on TV in Colorado, Channel 53 out of Denver. It's available over the air on cable, Comcast, Dish Network, and you know any kind of satellite TV. If you're in the Denver metro area, it's available. Bob Inyart Live, Friday and Saturday nights, late night. And you could search, and you could set your, what is it called, DVR or TiVo? You could set that, record it, and watch it when it's convenient for you. But it's fun to do these things. And when we were there in Los Angeles, it was the largest single event press conference in the history of the LA courthouse. And I described yesterday how the chief fire marshal and the chief justice both had to give their permission. They had to sign a permit to have a fire on the steps of the courthouse. And when you see that video, if you haven't seen it, if you go to our website, KGOV, KGOV.com, you could see footage that was aired on Comedy Central on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And it was, I mean, the flames were, it was a conflagration. It was a conflagration. And we learned, you know, you're supposed to learn from history, just like the personhood movement all over the country is learning from Colorado and our historic campaign in 2008. Mistakes were made. Many mistakes were made. Many lessons were learned. And those lessons have been passed on to personhood groups around the country. And so you learn. We learn from the feminists. The feminists, when I was a kid, they went to the steps of the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C., and I don't know why. I don't have a clue why they would do this, but they burned their bras. Seems to me like the stupidest thing in the world. Feminism is where women teach girls that you're not really worth anything unless you can be like a man. And we have to do everything we could think of doing to please men, anonymous men, any men on the street, anywhere. We just got to please them. So for whatever reason, by the way, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. For whatever reason, the feminists decided they had to burn their bras, and they get to the steps of the courthouse. They have a press conference. And they get out their matches and they can't burn anything. It won't light. It just won't light. And then, anyway, it was a mess. So we learned from that and we took that. What do they sell in Los Angeles? It's for the bottom of a bird cage or a litter box. What do they call that? Oh, yeah, the LA Times. We took the LA Times. Oh, and isn't it beautiful? How newspaper circulations are down 10% in just the last 6 months. 10%. You know, the 6 months before that, they went down what? 5%. 6 months before that, they went down 7%. And they think, well, the evaporation of our audience and of our advertising revenue and of our profits, it has to slow down. It's speeding up. It's speeding up, and it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people. These pro-abort, godless, pro-evolution, pro-homosexual, immoral publishers, editors, reporters, owners of newspapers, where if you have a Christian worldview, you are systematically rejected from having an opinion in these institutions. It couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people. And so they were down another 10%, another 10%. So we're in Los Angeles, and we are there to make a statement that we want to go to the culture. We want to influence the culture. We want it to go as far as it can go. And so O.J. Simpson, it's the trial of the century. It's the biggest news story of the decade. And so we figured, well, the audience, the KGOV, KGOV.com, the KGOV audience for Bob Inert Live, we said, if you guys think this is a worthwhile project, please send in some money, like we do at Telethon these days, send in some money. And we got that money, and 10 of us went at our own expense, by the way. We didn't use your money to get there. We went to Los Angeles, 10 of us, and we all wore black T-shirts. We have two websites, kgov.com and shadowgov.com. And on the back of the T-shirts, you could even see it on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. In the back of the T-shirt, it says, Judge Rightly is not some guy's name. And we go there, and we purchase the very first bay. You know, in an auction, they have bays, the first bay, the second bay. You might think of it as a lot, the first lot, the second lot, third lot. But they're called bays. And so eBay is what, an electronic bay, eBay? So our goal was to purchase the very first bay so that the entire auction would be marred. And while there might be some people who want to honor O.J. Simpson, we would make the whole event a reminder that he is a murderer and our system is a failure. Now, before I continue, let's go to the phones. 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278 in North Glen, Colorado. Robert, welcome to Bob Inert Live.
Hello, Bob.
Howdy.
Hey, I was just curious. It kind of sounds like to me like you can't forgive OJ for what he did.
Let me ask you, Robert, who do you have authority to forgive?
Oh, well, we don't, but...
Well, I'd like to know because...
It's only Jesus that can do that.
Because God,
but
right?
How
God,
do you know...
Hey, Robert.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll let you go, but first, God is God. Right. So if somebody sins against your neighbor, they've sinned against your neighbor and they've sinned against God. So if someone repents, then God can forgive that person because every sin is also against God. But I'm not God, you're not God.
Right.
So if somebody halfway around the world murders his neighbor, we don't have a standing to forgive that person. We can only forgive justly. If we care about what God says, we can only forgive those who harm us. If somebody hurts me, I have standing to forgive that person. And Jesus gives us guidelines. Like in Luke 17, he says, if someone sins against you, you remember what he said? If someone sins against you, what were the next words?
Forgive them.
No, you missed the phrase. The Lord said, if somebody sins against you, rebuke him. And Luke 17:3, and if he repents, forgive him.
Right.
So let me ask you this. The world is filled with people, some who love God, some who hate God. On Judgment Day, does God allow everyone into heaven?
No.
He only those who repent and humble themselves before him and ask him for forgiveness, for salvation, they are the only ones he forgives. So we're not greater than God. God forgives those who repent.
I understand that, but...
Okay, now to OJ, go ahead.
How do you know he hasn't repented?
Because he denies his guilt. That's one sign.
Are you with him 24 hours a day?
That's silly, Robert. That's silly. You're being immature.
Well, you don't know.
No, I do know that you are being immature. How about Adolf Hitler? Is it right to use people as examples to other people of wickedness? Like, say, the murderers of the Columbine Massacre. Do you assume that every wicked person said a salvation prayer like Adolf Hitler in the bunker as he's committing suicide? He's in heaven now?
I'm not saying that, but all I'm saying is we don't know if a man repents.
That's not relevant, Robert. God,
what?
In the Bible, God doesn't ask us to be naive and to be gullible. Like John the Baptist, remember he rebuked Herod?
Yep.
Do you remember what he rebuked him for?
I don't remember.
Okay, it was adultery and incest.
Okay.
Now, was John the Baptist there with Herod 24 hours a day?
Nope.
How did he know? Maybe Herod repented. If you were there, Robert, and John the Baptist had a show in Judea, he was on KJDU, you would call in and rebuke him. You'd rebuke him for rebuking Herod. But Jesus Christ said, of the men born to women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. So what you're doing is you're creating a moral standard that God does not hold. You're creating it, and by your moral standard, you're judging me.
No, I'm just saying, how do we...
You don't need to. You don't need to make that calculation, Robert.
Right.
That very desire in your heart to find a reason to not warn people about the results of the wicked and the unrepentant wicked, that motivation in you is not a good motivation. It's a bad motivation.
I'm not saying anything about that. All I'm saying is...
No, you are, but
we don't know what's in a person's heart.
Okay, so how about Herod? Did John the Baptist know what was in his heart?
Yeah, pretty much he did.
No, say no, Robert.
Say no.
He did not know what was in Herod's heart, and yet he rightly rebuked Herod. In fact, everyone in Scripture, all the righteous who rebuke the wicked, they don't know what's in their heart. God, Jesus didn't tell us to read their minds, do a mind meld. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. You judge them by their fruit. And so the fruit of O.J. Simpson is he is an unrepentant murderer. And guess what? When Christians say, I forgive O.J., you can give him a false sense of security that, well, if you're a Christian and you represent God, if there is a God, then God has forgiven me too, so I'm okay. I don't have to repent because forgiveness is automatic and repentance is superfluous. So, Robert, I would ask you to rethink all that.
Okay, I'll think about it.
Well, God bless you and call in sometime.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, I appreciate that. 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. By the way, all the media coverage of the personhood movement, Colorado Independent Today, Newsweek has just done significant interviews with the leaders of the Colorado Personhood Amendment, and that's exciting, Lord willing, this next week. And they'll mean it for evil, but God will be able to reach some, because when you say the truth, then it's really difficult for the media. They could just flat out lie and misquote you, but the personhood movement is savvy enough to record all our interviews. So if they lie and misquote us, then we could demand corrections. So it'll be interesting. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Nathaniel from Aurora. Welcome, Nathaniel.
Hi, Bob. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
Can I just have about 2 minutes before you interrupt me, okay?
No, you can't, but go ahead. Why don't you start?
When Jesus Christ was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and they had not asked forgiveness.
Okay, you're exactly right.
When Stephen was being stoned.
You're exactly right on both accounts.
When Stephen was being stoned, he said, Father, forgive him. Now,
right.
If they repent and say you're sorry, that does not mean if they don't ask, you don't forgive
of
them.
Of course it does. That's what it means.
You still forgive them.
Nathaniel?
It just means if
okay.
they come if
now,
they come, if they come
let me
in,
ask you some
finish,
questions.
Finish.
Let me ask you some questions.
Please,
Nathaniel,
please.
Now, first I want to ask you questions about what you've already said.
Okay.
We could probably go further.
Okay,
when the Lord sacrificed his life for us, he was on the cross.
Yes.
And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Was he speaking about three people in front of him, or generally the people in Jerusalem who cried out, crucify him, and the Romans who sentenced him, and Herod who mocked him? Was he speaking just to three people at the foot of the cross, or generally to all those who had put him to death? Who was he speaking to?
He's probably speaking to all of those.
Right.
And the one
that's
in front
right.
of them too. See, but the reason why we forgive is to keep our hearts right.
Put him on hold a second. Nathaniel, I want to talk through this and we could get to your point. All right,
okay.
bring him back. All right, Nathaniel.
Yes.
So the Lord was speaking when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's speaking generally to the whole population that crucified him.
I think so.
And did they all go to heaven, the whole population, all of Judea, the Sanhedrin, Pilate, the Roman
Only
centurions?
Only those that ask forgiveness.
What?
Only those that ask forgiveness and ask Jesus Christ to save them.
Well, that's exactly right. But Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them. And now you're saying they would only be forgiven if they repented.
But do you know why he said that? Do you know why
Stephen
said that?
I think
because
I know why both.
We must keep our hearts right.
That's
why we must always forgive.
No.
We must keep our hearts right.
Now, Jesus didn't ask the Father to forgive them to keep his heart right.
He has to be right.
Nathaniel, let me tell you what that is, okay? This is a very common phenomenon today in Christianity, and it results from the psychological influence, psychologists who've been on the radio for 30 years, filling Christians' minds with psychobabble instead of biblical principles. The reason Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sin, that's when you sin and you know you're doing something wrong and you do it anyway. When someone commits a crime, like crucifying an innocent man, they are guilty of that crime, and they're also guilty of all the other consequences that they might not even realize. So they knew they were killing an innocent man. That they knew. What they did not know, though they should have known, what they did not know is that they were killing God the Son, the Creator and the Savior, Jesus Christ. They did not know that.
How about Stephen?
Okay.
About Stephen
all right. So Jesus Christ was asking the Father, Lord God, I came here to die for their sin. My Father, Jesus Christ is the Creator God, the Trinity. But he was saying to his Father, do not hold it against them that they have shed the blood of your only Son.
How about Stephen?
Stephen was begging the Father not to hold it against the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, the high priest, not to hold it against them that they were martyring a follower of Jesus Christ, because he was worried that the threats that were given in Scripture, that if Israel rejected the Messiah, that they would be cut off. He was worried that in God's wrath, that God would cut off Israel, the Jewish religious leaders, the high priest, the Sanhedrin, Caiaphas, Annas. That's what Stephen was worried about. Lord God, please don't hold this against them. Don't cut off my people Israel because of this sin.
Should we love our enemies?
Yes.
We should love them. Now, how can you love your enemies and you don't forgive them?
God does that all the time.
God loves the world.
I'll answer your question. God loves the world enough to send his Son to die for all the world.
So you can love somebody, but you won't forgive them.
If they're not repentant, if they are not repentant and you forgive them, you're loving them to hell because you're teaching them something false. You're teaching them that forgiveness is automatic and repentance is superfluous.
You're forgiving them to keep your heart right.
No, that's psychobabble.
Yes,
that's not biblical.
That's forgiveness. It is true.
Nathaniel, forgiveness is when someone has done a wrong and they are humble and they ask for forgiveness and you forgive them, then the relationship is restored. But if a man is cheating on his wife, a man is cheating on his wife, and she says, oh, honey, I forgive you. Honey, I love you. And she just goes on, and he uses her like a doormat, and eventually he brings his girlfriend home and mocks his wife because she has received
Christian
psychobabble.
The Bible says she can get a divorce. So don't give me that.
Well, you're exactly right, Nathaniel. You're right. Jesus says that.
But she still must forgive him.
Matthew 5 and Matthew 19.
But she cannot hold a grudge against him.
Jesus says for fornication, for sexual immorality, you could divorce. And guess what? Divorce is not forgiveness. Forgiveness would be,
I
forgive you. Nathaniel, thank you for your call.
God bless.
Thank you. Okay. God bless you. I appreciate that. We could have had the same conversation a little more calmly, but it's essential because the number one reason in my experience that, let's say, people on college campuses who believe in God, the ones who believe in God, you know, there are all kinds of pagans believe in God. They think everything is God, bugs are God, the stars are God, or Allah is God, or the moon God is God, whoever. So even the devil believes in God but trembles, the New Testament says. So on a college campus, there are people who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they believe in God. Those people, if you ask them about heaven and hell, they say God is love. God is love. And there are tens of millions of people like this in America who say God is love, and they reject Jesus Christ. They think they don't have to repent, and they got that. They all got it from Nathaniel, the whole bunch of them. Maranatha.